from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, a beautiful portion of scripture that I trust God will use in your life today. May you draw encouragement or insight, and then I can't wait to introduce our special guests. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 19th, 2023. It's going to be another Testimony Tuesday on Monday. And my special guest, I'm just getting to know him, and I appreciate his calling. He's got a unique work going on in Lithuania. And I think you're our first guest from overseas from that country, but you were born in the United States, and there's so much to your story, your faith journey, and how God has called you there to work with LCC. So I'm going to ask you two things. What would you like our listeners to know and to glean something from this broadcast, from your testimony? What would be those two things?
Well, thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you and to have this opportunity to make your acquaintance, and hopefully it's a lifelong friendship. Mm-hmm. Two things, I guess, that are related is one, my wife and Susan and I just completed our first academic year at LCC International University in the small Baltic country of Lithuania. And I was born and bred here in Springfield, actually, went to Sullivan High School. But little did I know till we felt called to Lithuania about 16 months ago that there are many Lithuanian Americans in Chicago and in Illinois generally historically. But the two things would be to be reminded that many, many young people in college, at university, it's a strategic time in their lives to reach them for Christ. Mm-hmm. They're seeking answers, and many of them are going through tough things and experiencing a lot of failure too, perhaps. So ministries on campus are a worthy investment of prayer and resources and encouragement in other ways. And we aren't just a campus ministry. We are a university that is Christian. It has a Christian history, Christian vision, and intentions for our students in post-Soviet part of the world, Eastern Europe, where probably 80% of our students coming would make no claim to any kind of practicing Christianity. So, yeah, I'm excited to tell you what my wife and I have experienced, what we've seen about LCC, and why we think it's something you should consider praying for, maybe encouraging us in other ways if you feel led by God to do that.
Yeah, before our program, we were talking about the influence that teachers have on students. We're all influencers in various ways, but last Monday during Mark and Friends, I had Natalie Walsh on, and she's a coach at the U of I. I introduced her. She's the head women's gymnast coach, and she looked at her calling, her career as a coach, as an influencer for Jesus, that was her ministry. So how did God bring you to LCC? Here you're living in the States, and now you're overseas teaching, being used of God in this Christian college, influencing them with biblical truth.
Wow. Well, when Susan and I got engaged 27 years ago now, we both had an interest in Eastern Europe, you know, growing up kids during the Cold War. I'd always just been interested in history and European history from even before my conversion at age 22 as a university student at U of I, Champaign-Urbana.
Mm-hmm. Go Illini. I got my Illini shirt on.
Representing. And my wife, too, she had spent some time living in Germany as a teenager, and actually that's where the Lord met her during that season of her life while her dad was a history teacher at a Army high school. But the intention, something we had in common, was this heart for East to be used by God somehow for his kingdom and his glory and the good of the people in some part of Eastern Europe. And the Lord had some other things for us in the meantime until last January 2022 when we first learned about the university. I was in a season of sort of reassessing my career. I'd been in higher education. I'd been a professor more in the seminary world, training Christians for missions themselves to be involved in cross-cultural ministry, but gradually felt more and more of a burden for myself to be released and to directly engage non-Christians and to bear witness, especially to young people. So we found an opening at this small 30-year-old Christian university in this part of the world we didn't know much about and landed there last July. And, yeah, we're just delighted to be a part of a lot of things they're doing to expose young people from more than 50 countries. I think we're up to 60 different countries our student body represents. and expose them to Scripture and to a Christian worldview and to faith. And it's not just the required courses in Old Testament or New Testament or the required course in Christian worldview that they take, but part of what it means to be a Christian university, that as we explain it to them, even as we're recruiting students from these regions, the post-Soviet parts of the world especially, but that we have professors who want to have a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. You won't just be a number. You won't just be someone in the lecture hall seat. They come from cultures where there's a high or very strong power differential and dynamic, and they don't expect a professor or even high school teacher to ever invite them to coffee, for example, or to ever allow them to be called by their first name, mm-hmm. which is something we actually tell our students we prefer to be on that kind of basis with them. So that's the relational approach too, is something that, and we get a lot of testimonies from students to say how meaningful that was to them.
I'm going to reiterate this at the end of the program, but for somebody maybe driving to work, we'll have this and you can call in the station. But what's a website, or how can they get a hold of you, or they want to seek out more information about LCC?
Yeah, the school's website is lcc.lt, the LT for Lithuania. Yeah, we have an excellent communications department. I think it's an impressive website, very informative about the history, our student body, the six majors we offer, and also how to donate, because as a Christian ministry that is fully accredited in Europe and North America, and it's a traditional North American academic model, we call it, liberal arts college, but the faculty are externally funded. We find our own support. We trust God to provide that. And that frees up the school's resources and their focus to raise money that directly goes to benefit the students to offer affordable education and scholarships.
And so you're kind of like a missionary, if you will, self-supported. So when they go to lcc.lt, so that's mm-hmm. www.lcc.lt, do they search for your name? Do they look up like Travis Myers? How does it work? Or how could they directly help fund your ministry work there?
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to find a button that says donate, I think is the word. And then once you get into the pages with different forms of payment, check or, you know, card or whatever, there is an opportunity somewhere with a drop-down box or a blank field to put in my name if you want to designate it for us, or maybe you could also designate for various projects the school has, like expanding our infrastructure right now. It's underway.
And in case you just tuned in, I have Travis Myers in the studio with me, TravisMyers, and the website to find out more about this great ministry going on in Lithuania is lcc.lt. lcc.lt. Mm-hmm. Well, we began the program with reading out of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, which says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why did you pick that of all the verses you could talk about today?
Mark, that might have been my first favorite passage as a new believer back in 1994. As I'd entered college, I'd been raised in the church. My parents, you know, took my brother and me to church. We attended Sunday school, youth group. I heard the gospel of God's grace, but for some reason, my carnal reasoning was all still, though, for many years, that to be a Christian and be on God's good side or to be saved would be to be better than other people and to be morally superior, and that he was going to grade on a curve comparing me to unchurched people. And it was self-righteousness. And I don't think I was born again and really understood the gospel of, you know, saved by grace alone and by grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone, until rejecting any and every version of Christianity as something I judged wrong and ineffective to make people better or the world a better place. And a couple of years exploring other religions and philosophies at the university, because God did set in my heart to find the meaning of life and find my place in it and have a significant existence. And then meeting Christian university students through InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Mm-hmm. So meeting peers who were the kind of people I didn't think would ever buy into this religion. They were intellectual. They were smart. And they were from a lot of other countries. So I had rejected Christianity, too, as just something Western. And God has a sense of humor because I used to say, if I was born in Thailand, I'd be a Buddhist, so why don't I explore that? I don't have to be a Christian. But this Christian fellowship through which he reached me and through which I was discipled for the first year and a half as a believer, was largely Asian American from, I think, 9 different Asian countries. So, so the burden of self-righteousness that I carried was heavy, and then I was confronted with that at junior college, actually, through some non-Christian peers who were living the party life, but they seemed to love each other better than I know that I was actually ever loving any of my peers or friends. So then I joined them in that kind of pursuits for a while. So I went from being the older brother in the parable to being the prodigal son.
Right.
Yeah, and of course that was a burdensome way to live. So then when finally someone was leading me through a study of the scriptures focused on the Gospel of Matthew, coming to that point, that offer from Jesus and that claim, right, to be rest for a soul that felt heavy and burdened and like it needed saving and relief. And so that has always been meaningful to me, and not just as a conversion sort of salvation passage, but now after 30 years a Christian and being 51 years old, I know that there's seasons in life that where we still can feel burdened and heavy laden, and there's that invitation to return to Christ or to stay with Christ. So that kind of relief is what I want others to know, whatever it is that's burdening them, especially if they've not yet met the Lord and they don't know His grace at all. And like so many of our students, that they would find this Lord whose yoke is easy and His burden is light. He's humble and gentle. If I come and learn from Him, He's not going to abuse you. He has only your best in mind. So, yeah, that's why I chose that passage.
And that portion, finding rest for your souls, because so many people are searching, like you were searching and trying to find truth, and you found ultimate truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But there will be some Christians that are saying, oh, you don't know my life. It isn't very easy. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the Lord's burden is too great or overwhelming. Is it because they're out of balance? Or what would be a recommendation for somebody saying, but I am living the Christian life, and it's not easy, mm-hmm. and the burden is pretty heavy still.
Yeah. Well,
are we getting a little philosophical on you here?
No, that's all right. God's not a vending machine, and things mm-hmm. are, and I've been stuck in this thinking too and been discouraged by what God hasn't followed through or done for me that I thought He should or that I deserved for my faithfulness. First of all, I just ask, you know, are you in Christian fellowship? Mm-hmm. Are you pursuing a context where you're sharing life with other believers, and you're being open with them, and you're encouraging one another, all those one another commands in Scripture, right? Are you on the receiving end and giving end, or do you need to put yourself in some kind of Christian fellowship and community? Because that has been the most helpful means of grace, right? Way of God stirring up my faith in my life, as well as of course, reading Scripture, praying consistently. But again, there's no promise that automatically, instantly, you're going to feel better because you're doing those things. But, God has the long view, much longer than our view, and keeping the long view in mind, I think, is important to keep our faith from keeping doubt away when it might come. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think also it's having that eternal perspective. Yeah, sometimes you're going to experience heartache, and there will be seasons of anguish. People die. There is loss. Compare what eternity will be like, where there's no more suffering, pain, or heartache, with what you're experiencing now, because this is just like a small part of life when we have that everlasting eternity with God, and knowing that His character is good and perfect. It'll all work out. We won't understand some things. There will be some unanswered mm-hmm. questions, but we know His character and He is good. Well, someone else that is good that He brought into your life is your dear wife, Susan. You were bragging her up off air to me, saying what a wonderful helpmeet and mm-hmm. co-laborer. So what's her role in your life and with LCC?
Yeah, thanks for asking about Susan. So I'm a professor of humanities, part of the theology faculty, teaching some of the courses that all our students are required to take. Susan, she works in student life, and she has we met doing youth group in the Chicago area back in the day. So she's got experience with youth. She has an education degree. She's been a teacher in public schools. So she's really found her niche up there, coaching and mentoring some of the student leaders. Mm. That's what she focused on in the fall. These were upperclassmen that were a part of a first-year orientation seminar, working with first-year students to help them learn how to live away from home and in another country and be university students with good study habits and all of that. So the Lord really seemed to bless her relationship with those 12 student leaders. And now she's been asked to join the residence life team. Mm. Similar kind of role. She's a coach and a mentor to our resident directors, who are paid staff members who oversee the student workers who are resident assistants, right, or RAs living in the dorms, trying to make sure things run smoothly in the dorms for our 550 residential students. So, yeah, and she's also an assistant. She's a bit of a assistant as well to the director of the Student Life and Success Center in the fall, and now the director of campus housing. Yeah.
And what was it that first drew you to her?
Yeah, so I married up big time. Mm-hmm. She's a few years older than me, and I, from the get-go, wasn't sure if I had a chance. Mm-hmm. When we were doing youth ministry together back in the mid-90s. But what attracted me to Susan was the way she gives her life away to those that she's devoted, called to serve. So then it was in the 90s, junior high and high school students, especially the girls in this youth group, but the way she gave so much of her free time, because then she was working as a teacher full-time as well. So she's a very compassionate person. She moves to the margins. So I think what's Christ-like about her is how she really identifies the neglected, whether it's in the church or outside the church. The least of these in a society, in a community, is what God seems to always burden her heart for those people. And he's given her wonderful friendships and ministries to them. And I see her not make them projects, but they're friends. And so she's someone who values integrity and straight shooting and loyalty and faithfulness to a calling, to a job description, to marital obligations and commitments. And so she challenges me. We have a lot of fun together. We're best friends. And, yeah, she's my greatest treasure.
And Susan, you can't see the light in his eyes and the smile on his face, but when he does these shout-outs, he's really at peace and he's glowing, if you will. So appreciate that testimony, how all of us men need to honor the women in our lives and our wives and those that have been precious to us. Well, can you give us the website and more information about LCC? And then I want you to close with a story or something, an impact that you've seen God, where he's used you or Susan to touch students' lives.
Yeah, thank you. That gives me opportunity to mention something that I have not yet, and that is one-third of our students come from Ukraine. And historically, that has been true of the university, but many of them, the first-year students especially that I've taught, 17, 18-year-olds, were actually recently displaced by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So they are war-affected students. They've been traumatized. A lot of them have families still living in Ukraine somewhere and maybe near where the fighting is happening, or they have a father or brother who has been called to the fight and their lives are at risk. And so I can't imagine the kind of distraction that is to try to make life as normal as much as possible and to pursue their bachelor's degree while that's going on. And so, you know, and so just trying to show understanding and sympathy as much as we can for those students. And a few of the students' leaders, my wife was mentoring Ukrainian, and one of them, one young man that she particularly kind of jived with or connected with, and he seemed to be drawn to her, went from, you know, just being a cultural Eastern Orthodox Ukrainian person who may have attended church occasionally to seriously now wanting to know the Bible better, wanting to know more about God and Christianity in general. He went through an evangelistic 8-week-long curriculum or program that we offered at the university for students interested, and went to a spiritual retreat and seems now to be making a commitment, or it seems that, you know, God is definitely at work in his life and maybe bringing him from spiritual death to spiritual life. And so, you know, it's not just Susan or me. It's God working through so many staff, faculty, and Christian students that he knows. But we're just thankful for, you know, that's just one story, and there's several others I could tell. But, yeah.
Listening friend, find out more by stopping by lcc.lt. That's lcc.lt, and you can scroll into that to support it. You'll find out more ways to pray for the unique work that's going on in this Christian university in Lithuania. And Travis Myers is our special guest today, and you can see his name there on the website if you want to financially support him directly or support the great work that they're doing reaching these international students from all over the world with biblical truth, with a calling on their lives to return to their country with that hope of Jesus in their heart and equipped with the tools, the techniques, the methods, the means, the knowledge to share the good news message of Jesus. Well, thank you, Travis, for being available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a special guest, Lord willing. It's going to be Pastor Donald Mays. He's been very involved with the Springfield Ministerial Alliance Association and has pastored in a number of churches, and he'll be my Testimony Tuesday guest. But I appreciate you sharing some of your faith journey and life story. This program is archived at wluj.org, also greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends link, and look for Meet Travis Myers as the title, and you can listen to this program in its entirety anytime. We'll be praying you up in the days ahead, and if you want to find out more, stop by lcc.lt. That's lcc.lt, and be praying up Travis, Susan, and the great work that God's doing through LCC. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Travis Myers with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Tell the world the message.